The Bible says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. A lot of people say, well, what is salvation? I don't know of any other way to describe it, but peace with God. The Lord came into my soul and He touched me. A lot of people say, well, you can't have a conversation with the Lord. Well, I beg to differ. I've had a few conversations with Him. But you know what? The best conversation you have with the Lord is just when you listen. Sometimes when you listen, He gives you something to do, something to say, and you want to run the other way, don't we? We'd rather just go and hide, or as an ostrich does, we'd rather bury our head in the sand than to stand up and give glory and honor to the one who deserves all glory and honor, Jesus Christ. What a joy it is to be here tonight. And I want to thank you for coming. I want to thank you for letting me come to share with you the Word of God. I want to thank you for all your prayers and the food. And I'm just so grateful and thankful for your kindness. And Rhonda and I, we love coming here, my wife. And glad to have my mother with us tonight. And I wish all of our family could be here. But one day after a while, the family sung a song back when I was about, I tried to figure it up one day. I think I was about 5, maybe 6 years old. They recorded an album in Lafayette, Tennessee called When I Step Off on That Beautiful Shore. I believe Brother Jake Lambert wrote that song. And from my understanding, they were the first family to record that song. But one day after a while, that song's going to play true. Because one by one, they're crossing to the other side. When Uncle Larry passed away, that means there's 7 there, and there's still 7 here of the 14 children of the Patterson family. And one by one, we're going home. But you know what the best part of that is? All 14 children have a time and a place and experience where they know that they know, sister, that they're saved by the grace of God. I'm glad that I can go back to a time and place where I know that I'm saved. And if you're not saved, and you may have your name on a church roll, I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about being baptized. I'm not talking about any of those things. I'm talking about, have you prayed and felt the Lord Jesus Christ come into your heart and put that peace in there? The only way you're going to feel that is when you have trouble first. You know, a lot of people say they don't believe in preaching on time, heartfelt salvation and repentance. Before that can come, there's going to have to be some trouble. There's going to be some sorrow. We call that conviction. And when that conviction comes and that condemnation and you realize you're a lost sinner, the first thing you need to do, as Solomon said a long time ago, he said, remember the Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not. In order for us to understand that, I teach my children. And brother, you're the only one. I haven't heard of too many that have gotten saved at age 7. I know of one little girl that got saved at age 6. But Luke got saved at age 7. And all my children, they were 8 or 9 years old. And you say, well, you're fortunate. I am. And we taught them, especially Mama. I can't take the credit for that. Rhonda, every day. And I believe in the old church covenant. Many people, they just seem like it just takes up space on the wall. But we try to abide by that. When we were raising our children up, we truly believe in having secret and private devotions with our children and teach them from a little child. And my wife, a lot of times I'd be at work, but she would at nighttime, and she would still gather the little children around, and she'd open up that Bible, and she'd read to them and have prayer with them. And the very instant that they felt like they were lost and separated from God, that's when they sought the Lord, and the Lord saved them by His glorious grace. And so it's good to be here tonight. I didn't come tonight to I was kind of down, but you know, the Lord's already passed by and He's blessing us. And so I'm going to try to preach the things that God laid on our heart 2 or 3 days ago and with His help. And I know it may seem a little unusual, but I am an unusual preacher. And so that's just the way it is. Any of you seen the title of our message today is Jonah's Whale Tale. Jonah's Whale Tale. Have any of you seen that little family movie, Dolphin Tale? Anybody seen Dolphin Tale? Okay, well, how many? Anybody else seen Dolphin Tale? you haven't seen Dolphin Tale, you need to see Dolphin Tale. That's a little good movie, and we watched it years ago, and now the little grandchildren are coming on. It's a story about a dolphin that was found in Clearwater, Florida. And that dolphin's name is Winter. And you can still go see Winter now. If you ever go down to Clearwater, you can go by and you can see her, that little dolphin. And you know what? When he was found, he had an injured tail. Now, the word tail is spelled T-A-I-L, isn't it? Isn't that the way tail's spelled? But you know, the title of that movie is Dolphin Tale, T-A-L-E. And that's the title of our message tonight, Jonah's Whale Tale. Now, every time I've watched that movie, I've cried. Did you cry? When you watched that movie, I cried. Some of y'all don't remember. Okay? Some of you have not seen that movie. Let me ask you another question. Did you cry when old Giller died? Let me see your hand. You did, didn't you? That's what I'm talking about. Sometimes we get moved, right? And I had to go back a little bit further, and I'm not saying you're old or anything like that. You need to come up, I guess, a little bit and watch that movie, Dolphin Tale. Because you see, Dolphin Tale 2 is coming out here soon, you know. And you might want to see Dolphin Tale 1 first. But many of us, it's a moving movie. I don't usually advocate watching movies and stuff like that. But this movie, it didn't have any bad language in it. It had a good moral story. And that's what a tale is. And some of you might say, well, Jonah's whale tale, is that? A lot of scholars even say, and scientists, that really couldn't have happened what happened to Jonah. But I'm here to tell you with all of my heart, I believe just like the Bible says it happened, it happened. Amen. Now, the book of Jonah is probably the only, it's not a book of prophecy. Now, Jonah's a prophet, don't get me wrong. A lot of people call them minor prophets. I've studied the major prophets, the minor prophets. The prophet is a prophet. Doesn't matter whether he's major or minor. He was called of God, you see. And if you're listening to a preacher, that's one of the credentials you need to make sure that they have. First of all, that they're saved by the grace of God. They have a time and a place where they can go back to. And do they have a divine calling? I can take you right back to the spot where the Lord saved me. There's no doubt in my mind. 1612 Crump Street, Indianapolis, Indiana, in my bed, somewhere between my bed and the floor, the Lord come into my heart and He spoke peace to me. I told you that the other night. Hadn't changed, not going to change, because that's what happened. That's what I got when I got saved by the grace of God. One thing I may have not told you is that in October the 6th, 1991, I had been singing gospel music for about 10 years with the Journeyman and Jan, Journeyman Quartet, Patterson Family, all these. For 10 years I'd sung gospel music, and we had four children, and we were taking them to the Fairview Memorial, and we had joined the church there, and we wanted to raise them up. And anybody remember Duncan Houchins? Anybody remember Duncan Houchins? Brother Duncan Houchins, he had a choir at Fairview Memorial. And I thought, well, that's right where I wanted to be. I want to get up there and sing like the ladies, you see. And he used to let me sing like the ladies. And I'd get up there and I would sing like the ladies, and I'd just mind my own business. I was content. Be careful when you get content in church. I'm telling you. Because when you get content in church, you know, and you're just satisfied with the way things are going, and you feel like the Lord's satisfied, and then you might just let it slip and say, is there anything else I can do for you, Lord? He'll give you something to do. On that October 6, 1991, there was a brother by the name of Wilson Farmer that stood up about halfway over here, and he said, Brother Houchins already had some other songs picked out. He said, would you sing page 30 in the Mall Singing Convention? The prettiest flowers will be blooming. And I love to rear back on that like we did. Jesus hold my hand earlier. I got a story about that too. Really a tale. It's not really a tale. It's something that really happened. Just as this happened. As we were singing that song, And we were singing it, and I guess we sung one stanza, we was on the next chorus, and I was just reared back, and as loud as I sing, I still heard something over my singing. And what that was God said, preach my word. And I stopped singing, I looked around to see if anybody else had heard what I heard. And everybody else just kept on singing. And I guess I turned white as a ghost, because that's what my wife said when we left church that day. What is wrong with you? I said, did this happen? We're leaving. We're getting out. Get the kids up. And we're getting out of here. She said, what happened? I said, I got called to preach, and don't you tell nobody. That's what I said. She said, when? I said, in there. And she's been crying ever since. But that's what happened. Another tale. And that's what we're going to tell you in a minute about Jonah's whale tale. And there's a tale to tell. I was singing in Jamaica. Brother Don Curtis was getting ready to preach in this big hall. It had about 650 people in there. It was in Mandeville, Jamaica, or Manchester, Jamaica is where it was, in Mandeville. And we were getting ready to sing, and in Jamaica, it was we were kind of out of place. We were the only white people there. And all the people there, Brother Rick Jones was there, Brother Dean Dyer was there. We were sitting up on the front row. They wanted us to come and sit on the front row. And they started out with "Jesus Hold My Hand." We got to the second chorus, and the pastor got up and he said, "Stop everything." And I just sitting there like that, and he said, "You." And he was pointing right at me. And they had this big choir. All of them had white robes on and everything, and they were all real dark. And they were Jamaicans, and they could really sing. He said, "You're coming to the choir." We sung that song four times, and I'll tell you, I got so hoarse, I didn't know what I was doing. But the Lord, He passed by, and He blessed us. That's another tale. I got tales I can tell you all over the world I've been. But you know, that's not what really matters. What matters tonight is what Jonah's whale tale is all about. And the word tale is this. It means in T-A-L-E, a relation of a series of events. And when you think about Jonah, that's exactly what he went through. And really, he didn't have to go through those events. And I'll tell you more about that in a minute. But God knew what was going to happen. It could be a report. A tale could be a report. It could be a confidential matter. It could also mean idle talk. It could be harmful gossip or a falsehood. You ever heard of a tall tale? I believe that preachers a lot of times are guilty of telling tall tales. A lot of times, you see. And I don't mean to be, but that we're all human beings. We're just sinners saved by the grace of God. And if any preacher gets up and tries to elevate him above someone else, I'm going to tell you, there's no big eyes, there's no little U's. All of us, we are in the family of God together. And as one preacher told me, as too much is given, much is required. Brother, sisters, there's more required of preachers than there is other people. Why? Because they have a divine call. And when God tells them to do something, they need to do it. Now, when you think of Jonah, a lot of times you think, well, immediately he ran from the Lord. Well, yes, he did. But I want you to think about why he did run from the Lord. You know, he was told to do something that was like being you and I being told to go down maybe to the inner city or maybe downtown Atlanta, you see. Where there's a lot of murders. I've been to Chicago a lot of times. I'd land in Chicago Midway. One night it was about 6 inches of snow. I landed in Chicago Midway. It took me about 5 minutes to get out of the airport because of snow. And somebody come up. Everybody at church thought I was crazy. But somebody walked up to the window, you know. And I was at a stoplight and knocked on the window. And I cracked it about that much. I said, "Could I help you?" He said, "Yeah." He says, I'm out of gas and all this." And everybody at church said, "You're crazy for rolling down your window." But I did, because it was a man in distress. And he needed some help. But you see, that's the way Jonah was. He was told to go to a Gentile city. And he's a Jew. Now, when you think about all these Jews in the Old Testament, one of the things that they felt like is they were God's chosen people. And since they were God's chosen people, they were the only ones that would be chosen and would be saved. And for him to be told to go to a city where they were evil, I mean very evil. They went around killing everybody. And they would go around. The Ninevites, they were some bad people that would go around and they would just annihilate cities and other places. They were great warriors. And yet this little preacher is told to go and tell them what God said to tell them. The tale. Listen, it says, God said to him, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." Isn't that what preachers are supposed to do today? You know, if we go into a place and God says you go downtown and you go right into a robbery or something like that, and you get up and in essence, that's what he's told to do. You stand up and you tell them, "You bunch of wicked people, you better get right with the Lord because God sent me, and you better get right with the Lord right now." What do you think they do? Boom, boom, you're gone. That's what they do. Or they take out a sword. So I kind of understand where Jonah's coming from, don't you? He's got a heavy decision really to make whether or not he's going to do what he says he's going to do. Most of you know the story. He jumped on a boat, fled to Tarshish, and he was going to go the other way. But you know what happened there? It says when he fled to go to Tarshish, And I'll take my reading from the second chapter. Let's start with the first chapter, verse 17. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. And what's the essence of this? Well, we're getting ready to go into Jonah's whale tale, and I hope it'll be a benefit to every one of us that are here today for the church to witness to people that are out there. I'll tell you, they're out there. I was telling some of the people, we got a lot of preachers at our church. But you know what they're doing? They're going out. They're going out to two nursing homes. They're preaching on the radio. They're preaching on the TV. They're going to a jail. They're going to a jail. My son-in-law, Sarah Best's husband, he was also saved at 7 years old. And he goes to the jail. And about 4 weeks ago, they went to the jail and they have a ladies' service. They have a men's service. And it's a lot like what Jonah was. But these are incarcerated people. These are bad people. And they showed up for a service about 3 weeks ago. And usually there's about five. I've been there several times. About 5 to 10 women. And sometimes there's 15 to 30 men that show up. And they're all dressed alike. And they come in with their sandals. And they'll come in there. And they want to hear the truth. And so they come in. Well, this particular night, about 4 weeks ago, only one woman showed up. And Brother Travis, and I've had that happen to me. I've been in places. I've been in Tacoma, Washington. And preached a revival there one time in a Masonic lodge. Brother Jay Snoddy went out there and I don't, I'm going to get into this. Maybe if I don't, that's all right too. I'm just going to follow my heart and I'm going to follow the Lord. And while we were in Tacoma, Washington, the first night there was 13 people that showed up. Jay Snoddy's got a brother. He's in the service. He came out there and he says, you know, if you'll come out here and preach the gospel, maybe I'll bring my children. He did the first night. And after that, it dwindled down. Next night, there was 9. The next night, there was about 5. You know what? Sunday morning, there was only 4 of us. My wife, Jay, and me, and his wife. That's it. The preaching had gotten so intense, and the people they just rejected it and walked away, kind of like what we talked the other day. We were sitting there, and we were waiting for somebody to come, and Jay looked at me and said, what are we going to do? I said, we're going to have service. We're going to preach. We're going to honor the Lord. And that's the way it was the other night when Travis went, that one girl showed up. And her name is Sarah. I want you to pray for Sarah. Sarah came that one night. And Travis looked around and said, what are we going to do? And he said, well, I need to preach. And so he preached that one girl the gospel. That one girl is not in jail there anymore. You know why? Because she's been transported to a penitentiary because she's in there for murder. She did something really bad. Somebody said, well, the murderer can't get saved. I beg to differ. Amen. There's many examples in the Bible of those that murdered. You know what? If Jonah hadn't done what God wanted him to do, God was going to take out every one of those people. He was going to. When God says something, He's serious about it, and He does it. When Travis went and preached to her, she came to the altar and she began to seek the Lord. She began to tell Him what I've done. I don't know how I can get forgiveness from God. They said, you just keep praying. They said she went back to her cell. They go every other week, so it was 2 weeks later. When they went back 2 weeks later, here came Sarah, and she told them, she said, I went back to my cell. I prayed for about 2 or 3 hours. I don't know how long I prayed. She said, but the Lord, He saved me. He saved me. I'll tell you, if it was just one soul, would I go for just one soul? Would you go for just one soul? Jonah was told to go to a whole city and cry of it because their wickedness had come up before God. And you know what he did? He wanted to go the other way. And he tried to run. He jumped off the ship and here a whale swallows him up. And as he's in the whale, the Bible says, and he said, and I cried by reason of my affliction. And he says, and forgive me. He said, I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord. And you know what? It says, He heard me. A lot of people say, well, the Lord can't hear you. Oh, yes, He can. I'm going to take the Bible tonight and I'm going to show you, according to Jonah's whale tale, He hears every one of us, even if you're in the belly of a whale. God can hear you and your prayers. He said this, Al out of the belly of hell cried. And that word hell means it's a Hebrew word, which means the unseen state. Why do you say it's an unseen state? Well, he's inside the belly of a fish, and he's in the depths of the ocean, and he comes to himself, and you know who he cries to? He didn't cry to mama. He didn't cry to daddy. He cries to Yahweh, saying, my God, would you please hear my prayer? He got his attention. How many times has it been in our Christian walk, in our Christian life, we're just going this way, we're going that way, and maybe we'll be in a place where God can finally get our attention. And a lot of times when he gets our attention, it's when we're down on our knees and down on our luck, we're down on everything, you know, and we're brokenhearted, and that's when God can really speak to you, because the Bible says God saved us up to be of a contrite or a crushed spirit, and that of a contrite spirit, and a crushed and a contrite and just a broken spirit, you see, then God can speak to you. Didn't it harmonize with James and Peter and what they said? Humble yourself in the sight of God, then he'll lift you up. So now Jonah, his tale is the fact that he's down low. And he said, and I cried. And he said, and thou heardest my voice. How did he know that he heard his voice? A lot of people say, well, you got to pray through a man. You got to pray through this one. No. He prayed through the belly of a fish. And who heard him? It wasn't no priest. It was God. How did he know that God heard him? Well, listen. He said, for thou hast cast me into the deep, and in the midst of the seas, and of the floods come past me about, and all the billows of thy ways passed over me. Then said I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward the holy temple. The waters come past me about, even to the soul. Hey, you see, the waters were coming, and I've read this many times, but you know, it got so deep on Jonah that it even affected his soul. I mean, it went deep. And when a person really wants to have a conversation with God, what is a conversation with God? It's prayer. That's what it is. It's a prayer. Now, don't misunderstand me. Prayer and meditation is two different things. Prayer is where you want to have a communication. What is communication? Communication is this. And a lot of people say, well, when I talk to you, that's not communication. Communication is this. It's when the other person understands what you understand. That's communication. When I'm communicating with my wife, she might tell me something. She told me something today. She said, now listen to me. I've written it down. She did. She wrote me a Walmart list out. You know what? And she communicated to me. And I said, okay, I got it. She got ready to leave. I said, and what was this I'm supposed to get? She communicated to me, but I needed to understand what was on the list. She didn't want, and I haven't talked to her about this yet, she didn't want the green chapstick or the blistick. Not chapstick, blistick. She wanted the blue. Honey, they didn't have the blue, so we got the green, okay? That's just the way it is. But that's the way conversation is. But you see, here, Jonah, he hears it all the way to his soul. And he says this. It's amazing to me how Jonah could regurgitate, and I know that might not sound like a nice word, but the Bible uses vomit, but how he could regurgitate everything that he experienced, because he was 3 days and three nights in the heart or the belly of that whale. I got to be very careful. I was preaching a revival. This is the first revival I think I ever preached. And I was preaching that revival. And I've tried to slow down, because I got to preaching so fast back then that I was calling Jonah being in the welly of the belly. I said that 3 or 4 times in a sermon one time at El Bethel Missionary Baptist Church. I said the welly of the belly. And I said it again. I said, I mean the welly of the belly. I said, oh shucks people, you know what I'm talking about. Sometimes we get tongue-tied. I want you to understand that Jonah, he was inside the belly of that whale. And he was able to convey what he has experienced in that. And that's what a testimony is. A lot of people say, well, testimony is about grandma doing this and grandma. No. Your testimony is your experience, experimental knowledge that you have with And when you have, and don't misunderstand me, there's many blessings that happen along the way. And those are just added things to what the testimony reality of our salvation is. And a lot of people say, well, I'm doubting my salvation and I got to go all the way back to Bethel. No, you don't. All you got to do is go back to your last blessing that God, He came into you, around you, and He blessed you and He lifted you up and shouted even during the song service. I'll tell you, that's as far as you got to go back. Satan, he'll want to take you back even further before then and say, look, you did this, you did that. Do you think that's the way it was with Jonah? Jonah knew he had messed up. He knew that he had messed up. He knew that he did this and tried to go the other way. But you see, even against the things he wanted to do and the things that God wanted him to do, God still used him. A lot of people saying, well, we're just useless. We're just worthless. I'll tell you, one with God is a majority. Has been, always will be. One, and you might ask little David about that. That's right. So once Jonah, God is Jonah's attention, he says that even to the soul, the depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. He said, I went down to the bottoms of the mountains and the earth with her bars was about me forever. And yet hast thou brought my life from corruption, O Lord my God. He said, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee and into thy holy temple. And they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. I've read that many times, brother. But when I was meditating and studying on that today and yesterday, I began to think about what Jonah was really saying there. You know, a lot of times we'll experience the mercy of God. No doubt Jonah did in the prior verse. He talks about how the Lord heard his prayer. And no doubt it heard his prayer many other times, you know, and how that he had blessed him. And a lot of times that's the way we go around some churches, you know. We get down on ourselves because we don't see the benches filling up and stuff like that. I'll tell you, don't lose faith. Don't faint. Just keep going forward. And when we'll do that, that's what Jonah did. But a lot of times we'll think about forsaking our own mercy. The mercy that so tenderly and kindly came down to us. And I, for the life of me, I don't understand people that would really, truly get saved. I mean truly saved and join an old-fashioned church. How that they could turn away from the mercy and forsake. I don't understand that. I love them. I want them to come back. I really do. And as much as I do, I'll tell you who wants them to come back even more. The Lord does. Let's pray. Let's pray for them. So he said, but I will sacrifice unto thee the voice of thanksgiving, and I will pay that I have vowed. And out of all the things that he said while he was in that belly, I think one of the most prophetic things that he said was this next part of that verse. He said, salvation is of the Lord. Now, he goes on to say, and the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah into the dry land. There's many messages and thoughts that we can gather from everything that we've already read right now. But I guess the greatest of them is the foreshadow of Christ. For even Christ said this. He said, as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the well, he said, so must the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth. So even Jesus Christ used the experience that Jonah had had to let everybody know that he was going to be that one that would go in the depths of the earth. And I love what the psalmist said in the 139th division of Psalm. If you read that whole psalm, it talks about wherever you go. He said to search me and know me. But before he said that, he said, I can go into the depths of the earth. He said, you're there. I can go as far up to the heavens and the universe, and he's there. God is everywhere. God was right there with Jonah. He was pointing him what he needed to do. He told him what he needed to do. And when he finally came to himself and got on the ground, he ran into the city. And you know what? It was just a very simple message. It's amazing to me why we as preachers, and I'm talking about myself, not talking about you, why we as preachers, or me as a preacher, will oftentimes think that we have to just prepare this big, long sermon and try to put everything into it, you know. When all Jonah said was, yet we could get a hold of that power today, to where a preacher could just get up and say, yet 40 days and you're going to be overthrown, you're going to be killed, you're going to be destroyed, and then just walk away with no fear of worrying about what was going to happen to us, because that's a lot of times what we do. We fear going in, we fear going away, we fear. I'll tell you, there's one that can cast away that fear. And that's one of my favorite verses in the Bible. When I first got called to preach, I was so afraid, and I still am tonight. I'm afraid that I'll mess up. I'm afraid that I would disgrace God, and I don't want to do that. But my mother-in-law, she gave me a verse of Scripture, and she said that perfect love casteth out fear. And that's what it does. Amen. It works. If you're afraid of God, if you're afraid to do something for God, if you're afraid to do this, and afraid, just keep in mind that He knows all about it. He's everywhere. The Bible says in the 139th Division Psalm, He's everywhere. And because He's everywhere, you can't run nor hide from God. Jonah couldn't, we can't, and there's no way that anyone else will be able to as well. As Brother Preacher said last night, when every knee and every tongue shall confess that He is Lord of Lords, he talked about all those are going to run, and they're going to run to the rocks and the mountains, and they're going to try to hide themselves from God, but you can't do it. The Bible declares that one day soon, and I believe it's sooner than later, that the sun's going to come black as sackcloth, the stars are going to begin to fall, the moon is going to turn red as blood, and when He does, the Lord is coming back. And He said, I'm coming back quickly. He said that three times. He said, I'm coming back quickly. And the last time He said, surely I come quickly. And so there must be an urgency. And I'm confident you see that. That's why we're here tonight. You say you're preaching to the choir. I know that I am. That's why we're here. But we need to be encouraged just like Jonah was encouraged. He was encouraged. And sometimes the encouragement is sometimes I didn't quite understand when my dad says, I'm going to encourage you, and because you didn't do what I said you were going to do. And he would take, and he'd take a belt, and he'd whip me. I didn't think it was too encouraging, but it did. It encouraged me not to do what he told me not to do again, and I didn't do it again, because if I did, I got a whipping, you see. You say the Lord does that? Oh, God's good. Amen. But He loves His own. Yeah. And He will correct us. Amen. How does He correct us? In His way, according to the personality that you are. You say, what do you mean? My two youngest children, Heather. That's the mother of that little grandson, Sawyer. And by the way, in Dolphin Tales, the little boy that finds a dolphin, his name is Sawyer. Just thought I'd throw that in there. I would just about have to beat her to death to get her attention. Luke, on the other hand, all I had to do was point my finger, and I had his attention. Each one was a little bit different. And you have to approach him a little. God doesn't. Now, He's the same God. He's not different. I look around here and I don't see anybody that looks like me other than Luke, a little bit, but he's Luke. I'm wrong. And Sawyer. You say, how do you know Sawyer looks like? Look at his ears real close and then look at mine. I'm sorry. I wish his ears didn't look that, but that's the way they are. But you see, every one of us are different. But God made us. He made Jonah. And I want to look at one other place, and then we'll close. It says in the 12th chapter of the book of Luke, in the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, and so much that they trod one upon another, He began to say unto His disciples, first of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. And therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which ye have spoken in the ear in the closet shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that they have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. Are not five sparrows sold for two farthings? and not one of them is forgotten before God, but even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows." There's many tales that we could tell about Jonah's whale tale, but the Lord wanted me to convey the part about not running away from Him, and no matter how far away you get from Him, He knows where you're at. He knows where you're going, and He knows how to bring you back. He's so personally acquainted with you that He even said He's got every hair numbered on our head. Now, I can't comprehend that. I can't understand that. I can't understand how the Lord can speak to a fish and be waiting with his mouth open for Jonah to jump in the water and for him to swallow him up to get his attention. You say, well, he won't do that anymore. God has his ways of getting our attention. He's gotten mine many times. Sometimes he gets it through other people. Sometimes he gets it by just speaking to me directly. If he's gotten your attention, why don't you do the other part of prayer, and that is meditation. Meditate on that. What does meditation mean? It means you don't have to say a word. You just sit and wait on the Lord. Isn't that what the Bible says? Wait on the Lord. You just wait on the Lord. Have patience. You say, but that patience usually will cause us to have a lot of tribulation. Oh, I'll tell you, we're already having tribulation. We already have trials. Those that just keep letting them get them down instead of getting up and pushing on, I'll tell you, those are the ones that need our help. They're the ones that need our prayers. Those are the ones that we need to help them. I love that passage where Jesus says, if you want to be my disciple, you bear your cross. That's what he said. Every one of us, we have a cross to bear. And so let's bear it. And when the load gets so heavy, let's help one another to bear that cross. If you're here and you're not a disciple of Christ, you say, what's a disciple of Christ? It's a follower. It's one that has understood that they need Jesus in their heart more than anything. That they fear what Jesus said. You know, Jesus, the one that said that, he said, don't fear what man can do. You don't fear what this. He said, fear that one that can cast both soul and body into hell. He did it once. You say, what do you mean? Isn't that what Jonah said? Here I am in the hell. And it wasn't a literal hell that he was talking about. He said the unseen state. But you see, it is coming where there will be a great separation. Jesus said that too. Put the goats on the one side, on the left, the sheep on the right. He's going to tell those on the left, depart from me, workers of iniquity. He's going to say, it's going to be cast off into hell, prepared for the devil and his angels and everyone. That's what he said. But you that are that disciple, that one that sought the Lord and got saved, he said, come on, enter in to joy, to joy, to joy, to joy. And I'm paraphrasing, but I can go over there and turn to the 24th, 25th chapter of the book of Matthew and read a whole two chapters about him coming back in the condition of the world that it's in. He even said one of the things that is a real sign is that the love of many will wax cold. That's happened right before our very eyes. May the Lord help us to love one another. Love you. Thank you. I had more I was going to say, a lot more than I thought I would cover, but there was a lot that came that I didn't think I would cover. And so at this time, I'm going to turn the service over to the song service. And if you're here, you've never been saved. I mean, you've never sought the Lord. Take it, know that you know that you're saved. The Bible says in the 10th chapter of the book of John, says, his sheep know his voice and they follow him. Amen. I don't know how much more plain to put it than that. Some people say, if you can't hear his voice, maybe you're just not listening. We got so much noise in the world now. We got so much noise in the world now that people are just trying to turn it off and turn this on, turn that on. We have so much technology that Satan, I mean, all this stuff is great. Sometimes you just got to turn it off.
Yeah.
And listen to the voice of God. And tonight, I want to ask you, are you listening to the voice of God? You say, what's this up here? It's a mourner's bench. You want to come seek the Lord? You pray until you know that you say that this church and the church I pastor, people are allowed to pray until they know that they're saved.
Amen.
It's between you and God.
He said, well, I thought you had to give these instructions. Well, no, that Bible gives all the instructions. The Holy Spirit gives the rest. He will tell you what you need.
Amen.
That's what my mom told me years ago. I said, Mom, how do you know when you're lost? She was she's a theologian, man. She'd say, you'll know. I said, well, how do you know you're saved? She says, you'll know. You say those are theological responses. Absolutely. Bible teaches that. It's it. He does it.
Yeah.
There's nothing we can do. That's why it's called grace.
Yeah.
Saved by grace. Through faith. That in ourself is the gift of God. How do you know you get the gift? I can have a gift for you out of the car. But you don't know I got your gift until you what? You receive it. When are you going to receive it? When I give it to you. If you go out there and take it, it means you stole it. You know what the Lord said about those that are thieves and robbers? They're going to burn up with a shack. You can't steal it. You can't do that. It's a gift that comes from God. And you'll be the first to know when you get that gift. Nobody else can have it take it. So as you stand in the same tonight, if you don't have that gift, where you know that you're saved, where God's got your attention like He did Jonah, to where you can tell it, then I would encourage you to pray until you find it.
Amen.
Because that's what you need. But you say, this one says that, this one says this. I'm going to tell you, you can believe me. I'm telling you, talk to the Lord.
Amen.
Let Him clarify. Let Him validate what's being said. Let God's people who water the Word have a testimony. Every person that's a true member of this church, they had to give evidence, proof, means for repentance that they were truly saved by the grace of God.
Right.
Or they wouldn't be a member of this church. And what is a church? It's not the building. It's the people.
Yeah.
That's what the church is. If we stand and say, I'm going to start preaching again. I'm trying to stop. I'm sorry. Yet 40 days and then it shall be overthrown. What a message. What if I just got up and said that and said there? If God took it and put it where it needed to be, and that is in our hearts, that's all that we need to be said.
Amen.
As we stand and say, God bless you. Thank you for listening to us tonight.
Turn to page number 191. Jesus is tenderly calling me home, calling today, calling today. Why from the sunshine of love will thou roam, Father and Mother away? Come today, come.
to try to add to those things that were said. But we all have our experiences. Every one of us can talk about times that we were just as low as being in the belly of the whale. And how that we had to somehow or another get hold of the Lord. And sometimes the way we get hold of the Lord is He has to get hold of us first. And sometimes we just kind of go along our way. And we have to get a little bit of that discipline that comes from God. And a lot of people like to say, well, He's just letting God do what He's done. I do. He doesn't do mean things to us. He does those things to try to get us back online from the work we need to be. He's not a mean God. He's a loving God. Amen. He's also a vengeful God. He's a judgmental God. He's a God that sees that which He loves, His children, that they need to be corrected sometimes in order for them to get the most out of their life. And so He does some of that. And at the moment, He's not blessed.
Amen.
But when we look back on it, we're thankful that He did what it took to get us away from the things that were not appropriate for our life, not appropriate for His cause's sake. And I appreciate the times that the Lord has chastised me, disciplined me. I'm ashamed of what I was doing in order to have that happen. But I'm thankful that He did that for my benefit and for His cause's sake. And we all ought to take the message tonight and reflect upon that within our lives and how it can apply to us. If there's someone here that's unprepared for eternity, that doesn't know the Lord, then I hope that you will take that.
Amen.
And recognize just where you are with God and what you need to do. And I may have said this earlier in the week, but I don't go to churches before. Brother A.C. Vanderpool, when he was young, his dad, or he asked his dad, you know, how do you know you're lost? How do you know you're saved? He said, well, how do you know you're not?
That's right.
And he said, well, I figured that in here. Well, how do you know you're fooled? I figured that in here. And he said, that's the way it'll be when you're lost, when you say you'll figure it in here, in the presence of the Lord. Again, I repeat something I heard said not too long ago by a preacher, and I've heard him say it a number of times. He said, I'm glad that I serve a God that's big enough to let me know what I'm saying.
Amen.
Not just to leave me out there guessing and wondering and hoping that everything's going to be all right, but that I know that I'm saying. And those of us that know it, we know it because we experience it. And the people that don't know it, they're still trying to guess about it. They're trying to figure it out. And the only way that they'll get to have an understanding of it is to experience it, to come to the Lord.
Amen.
And then all of a sudden, I thought about this after I concluded my prayer, and I was listening to others pray. Remember a young lady, she was about 15 years old, that attended revival meetings. She was another faith from ours. And she was attending a revival meeting with a church. And she said, they called a man to pray. And all the other people started praying. And she said, how rude they were to pray when he was praying. But later that night, she got her conviction went off. And while a whole lot of people were around her praying, the Lord heard her prayer.
Amen.
And she got saved.
That's right.
And she says, now I know why this prayer has God given her a while.
Amen.
Because with all those other people praying, He heard me. And that's the thing. We're not praying to hear and let somebody else hear us. And that's fine if somebody's not praying, they listen in on what we've got to pray about. It's fine if a lost person is listening to you. See how we communicate and talk with God. That's well and good. And sometimes listening in on somebody else's prayers, bless my soul, tremendously. But God can hear every one of us.
Amen.
Every time we pray, no matter how many are praying. It's like how many people are praying around the world.
That's right.
That God hears the prayer all at the same time. He's that big of a God.
Amen.
And I'm thankful for that. Thankful to be here and to have that witness. Does anyone have anything on your heart that you feel like you need to say about it? If not, I'd like for us to have another song. And let's have a Christian handshake. I always like to welcome those that are here. We do that anyway. But just to say by this that we love you and we appreciate you being here. We appreciate you working with us. And, you know, Christians having that fellowship together is a wonderful thing. And sometimes it seems like it gets to be just a heavy thing. But we need to look at it as it's a special kind of fellowship. When you clasp somebody's hand that has the same experience in their heart that you have, there's a bond there that the world can't appreciate and doesn't know about. And even though it might seem like kind of a routine thing at times, it can be a very special time to be able to look in somebody's eyes and just say by handshake, I love you.
Amen.
I appreciate you. I'm thankful that you're willing to serve the Lord with me. And people that are lost don't have handshakes. But sometimes there's something that's said or something that's done that might touch their heart at that same time.
Amen.
So let us gather together and shake hands with each other. And just say with that, I love the Lord, I love you, and I want to serve you. Let's see.
Turn to page number 51. To Canaan's land, I'm on my way where the soul.
Jesus name you tonight. Amen. And all the rest come and let have you come back and be with us again.
Amen. Anything else?
What you said a while ago, you took my attention. When I got saved, I came out of Florida, in Florida. I'd been to a modern Baptist church in my younger years. I knew nothing about nothing. And one of my friends, God asked me, they said, somebody said, what's this thing about being saved? I don't know. I guess it's the first time I ever heard the expression. When I came up and moved back to Nashville, my dad said, Mom, I'm going out to Cuba. And they started carrying me out there. And he said, if you go live here in this house, you're going to go to church with us. I was 20 years old. So I started going to Cuba. And they said, Brother Russell needed to preach. After 4, 5, 6 weeks, he got my attention. And then go around for a handshake. And I see there's having a different time. I just see these people about something that I don't have.
Bless.
And then he was there. And I started going up with a handshake. About 2 or 3 weeks there, I'm so got to go up and watch this. I was just something I wanted to do. They had something that I didn't have. And my stepmother said, well, some of the men said something about some people who put a handshake, he's not a Christian. But they said, well, he's not hurt. That's not hurt the back. He's going to do these corners. I heard nothing. So I kept on going. And I eventually went to the altar and got saved. And I didn't know what it was all about. I did. I was probably pulled to John 3:16, but that's all I knew. I knew nothing about except what Russell had preached to my soul. And I never said it to me. But yeah, he went up there, he didn't hurt a thing. I could go around and shake it. But I was kind of part of it, and I wanted a bigger part.
Yeah.
And I got it.
Bless.
Something that had a note up here, I guess for me, that I make mention of, and I've forgotten it every night. Saturday night, 5:30, we got a meal. Sister Brenda's going to bring all the leftovers. just come a little early and get a little bite to eat before we have service on Saturday night. And she might appreciate it. Somebody will probably do something too. But I'm sure I have it cleaning, but my friends, relatives, neighbors, anybody else can come. I'm glad to have you come and have that fellowship time together before our service Saturday night. All hearts and minds are clear. Again, appreciate you being here, appreciate your good message, appreciate the Lord's presence. And we just ask you to, between now and tomorrow night, pray some more, invite some folks, and let's come together and expect good things in the Lord. And again, those that have come to be with us tonight, we appreciate it so very much and invite you back anytime that you have the opportunity to do so. Brother Taylor, would you pray this message?
Kind Heavenly Father, it's once more we bow down before thee and give you praise and thanks for the new blessing of life that's been out of control. Kind Heavenly Father, we give out the thanks for salvation, the plan of salvation, for the opportunity to attend the house of the Lord once more, for the new blessing of life that's been out of control. Kind Heavenly Father, we pray your blessing on the late church this week as you come into this effort meeting, hoping would be a revival that by the way, with each one who's come this way and kept them in time, Heavenly Father, that they might blend their hearts together, that they might come together in a way that the Lord might be blessed and all the souls be saved. And Heavenly Father, without that speaker each night, as he would come before their congregation and tempt them to have the liberty needed to claim a portion of thy word in such a way that each might hear, and it might go into the heart of the lost and cause them to seek God through the salvation of their soul. And Heavenly Father, with that, bless all of our people and help all be humble and submissive to thy will. Bless this week, throughout this week, for the church, and hope that she would say that she had a good revival and all soul might be saved, Lord, when it comes to the close. May God bless all of them as I do to pray for these babies and bless us. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.